We began yesterday the sugya of Shor HaNiskal, which is addressed in the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin, as well in the sugya Adaf Tesvav Amid Beis. And what we got up to was a machlokas between the Bach and the Chacham Tzvi. Now, in order to appreciate this machlokas, the background that we need is that the amount of judges that are necessary to adjudicate in the case of a shor niskal in order to condemn the shor to death for killing a human being depends upon the misas habaylan. The Torah says v'gamba olav yumas, and as the Mishnah formulates it at the beginning of Sanhedrin, kimisas habaylan kach misas hashor. If the Baal were on trial, which they're not, but if they had been on trial for some sort of capital, for an accusation on a capital crime, they would need 23 judges. The Torah is not going to be makil, lenient, and say, well, you know what? Let's put it the other way around. The Torah is not going to be machmir and say, let's put him to death with the judgment of three judges. That's enough for dinim amenos. But in the case of dinim nefashos, the Torah ups the ante and is makil. We're not going to put a person to death unless a high court of 23 judges would condemn him to death. And since the pasuk says in the parasha Mishpatim of Shor Shaharak, Gam Biol of Yumas, Kimisoso Shal Bailam Kach Misoso Shal Shor, we cannot condemn the Shor to death with less than 23 judges. Why then does the Bach insist that if the shor is owned by a guy, then we'll put the shor to death with a judgment of one judge and one aid and one witness? And the answer is going to be, kimisas habaylim, kach misas hashor. Had the baylim, in this case the guy, been on trial for a capital crime, and basically any criminal case against a non-Jew, according to halacha, is a capital crime, because any violation of any of the sheva mitzvah generates a chiyuv misa. All we would need is the testimony of one aid and the decision of one dayan. Hence, when we apply those same rules and same standards to the shor of a non-Jew, that's called a shor shel ben noach, then all we would need is the decision of one judge and one aid. Why then does the Chacham Tzvi reject this shita and require in the case of a judgment on a shor shel ben noach 23 judges? What happens to the principle of kimisoso shel shor shel bailam kach misoso shel Shel Shor? The Baalim would be judged by one Dayan, so hence the Shor should be judged by one Dayan. Says the Chacham Tzvi, we have to apply the principle here of Dayo Lefom and Adin Lios Kinnadin, that the entire enterprise of requiring a Bezdin of 23 judges is derived from the Pasuk of Kimisas HaBaalim, which is in the case of a Yisrael. Hence, the Mishnah establishes that the Shor can only be put to death if condemned by a Beis Din of 23. Kimisas HaBaalim. Baalim here means Yisrael. And the Torah is being very lenient on the Shor, allowing for a condemnation of the Shor for death only if we have the highest, you know, a very, very high-powered Beis Din, meaning a Beis Din of 23. You know, Bezdin of three or one or whatever it might be, and that's not enough to condemn the Shor. Now, you can't derive from this that we're going to lower the standards of the Bezdin and be more machmir on the Shor in a case where it's owned by a guy, because we have to go back to the original Kemisas HaBaalim. It was the original Kemisas HaBaalim in the Pasuk V'gam Baal of Yumas that set up, that jacked or raised the ante for the Beis Din to be 23 judges. And therefore we're bound by that requirement. So whenever there's a din of Shor HaNiskal, we're going to go back to the original case which taught us and established that you need a higher court, namely a Beis Din of Chof Gimel, in order to put the animal to death. And that Bezdin is the Bezdin of Kemisas HaBailin, which is a Misas Yisrael. So it matters not, says the Chacham Tzvi, who actually owns the Shar, but rather how do we derive the number of judges that will decide to condemn the Shar to death. And how do we derive that conclusion? We derive from the Misas HaBailim of which Bailim? Of Yisrael. Then in the case of Yisrael, we require 23 judges. Now that sets up the standard for Shar Niskal. It doesn't matter who owns the Shar Niskal. In fact, we're going to soon see that there's a Shar Niskal that's not owned by anybody. And we're going to require 23 judges. And that's derived from Kemisas HaBailim. So Kemisas HaBailim is only the backdrop. It's only the, you know, the shall we say, the players behind the curtains. You know, they are the ones that set up the requirement of Shar Niskal. You want to put a Shar to death and condemn the Shar for killing a human being? Well, we're going to derive from the case of a Shar Shal Yisrael that the Torah is being very lenient with regard to the Shar and only allows the condemnation of the Shar for death if you have a high-powered Bezdin of 23. That's in the background. Now we can apply that derivation to any scenario, even when it's not Kemisas HaBailim. We're no longer bound by Kemisas HaBailim. We're not going to press the button in every single case of the Shar and ask, well, how would we judge or how would we condemn the Bailim if they were accused of a capital crime? We only use the original Kemisas HaBailim to set the standard for a Bezdin, for a Shar Niskal. The Shar is going to be put to death. The Shar is on trial. How much of a Bezdin do we need for that trial to put the Shar to death? The answer is 23 judges. Once we derive the conclusion of 23 judges, we can never be more machmir on the Shar and put the Shar to death based on the decision of a lower Bezdin, which according to the Bach means a Bezdin made up of one judge. So let's just go over this. The Bach on the one hand is saying Kemisas HaBailim means in every single case of a Shar and Niska, we have to ask what would be the judgment appropriate for the Bailim. So we're always going to have to plug in an answer to the question of who the Bailim are and what would be the Bezdin necessary to put the Bailim to death if they were accused of a capital crime. That's the way the Bach operates. So if the Shar is owned by Yisrael, what are you going to plug in? 23 judges, because there's no way of condemning the owner of the Shar, meaning the Yisrael, to death with less than 23 judges. Hence, we're going to apply that to the Shar as well. If, on the other hand, the Shar is owned by a guy, then how would we put the guy to death if he were accused of a capital crime? The answer is one judge. Hence, in the case of a Shar Niskal that's owned by a guy, one judge is enough to condemn the Shar to death. That's the Bach. The Chacham Tzvi, on the other hand, assumes that no, we're only going to use Kemisas HaBailim to answer one question. What is the Bezdin? What are the standards of putting a Shar to death for the crime of killing a human being which he's being accused of? And the answer is, we're going to derive from Kemisas HaBailim that it's got to be a judgment of 23 judges. And no, nothing less than 23 judges and that high Bezdin, which is called Sanhedrin HaKtano, could suffice to condemn the Shar to death. It's irrelevant, says the Chacham Tzvi, who actually owns this particular Shar. The judgment is on the Shar. The Shar is being judged for killing a human being. The Torah has already set the standard for putting the Shar to death, and that's 23 judges. Now, the Chacham Tzvi argues against the Bach on a second count. The Bach, according to the Chacham Tzvi, is guilty of a second mistake. The Bach says that the Bezdin of one judge is not only sufficient to condemn the Shar to death, but that one single judge can issue a verdict, which means a Psak Bezdin, which engenders what's called an Iser Hanah. Shar Niskal, the Torah says, is Osir Banah. Well, it's only Osir Banah after Bezdin determines that it killed a human being. What kind of Bezdin would be sufficient to set up to generate an Iser Hanah, says the Bach? It's going to be that same Bezdin that will condemn the shor to death. And in the case of a shor that's owned by a ben Noach, kibisa sabayl kach misa shor, you need only one judge to put the shor to death. That same one judge can issue a horah that has the power, the koach, to engender an iser hanor. Says Chassam Tzvi, that's not so. Nowhere do we find that there's such a thing as a bezdin that's made up of one judge, and therefore that could generate what's called a gemar din, and the gemar din now triggers off an iser hanor. You need a full-fledged gemar din. And a full-fledged gemar din, in the case of a shor niskal, can only be achieved by a beis din of 23 judges. So the Bach, according to the Chacham Tzvi, is wrong on two conclusions, two counts. Number one, that one judge is enough to condemn the shor to death in the case of a shor shel benoach. And number two, that one judge is sufficient to generate an iser hanor in the shor. Now let's mention, before we start our discussion for today, two Rambams, which you'll see in the first paragraph here on the right column. He says, the Rambam in Perek Yud Milchus Niskei Mamon tells us that a shor ha-midbar, or a shor ha-ger shemes, which means that the shor is not owned by anyone, it roams freely in the wilderness, or it was owned by a ger who died without any yarshim, the Rambam establishes that shor, if it kills a person, is chayev skila. And that's the Tanakama of Rabbi Yehuda in the issue of whether or not the penalty of death, as far as the shor is concerned, is a reflection of the owner. And the owner was guilty of whatever he was guilty of, and let the shor. Or no, it's really the guilt is the shor. So the Rambam says the guilt is the shor. Again, even though the shor doesn't have freedom of choice, but the shor is considered, let's call it a bar seichel. The shor has some element of seichel to it, and the shor, if it kills a human being, to some extent deserves to die as a punishment for its crime. And it's irrelevant who owns the shor, if anybody owns the shor. It's a punishment that's meted out to the shor. Then we have another Rambam in the fifth chapter of Hilchas Sanhedrin, and the Rambam's language is very telling. The Rambam says, "Ein don in dinin nefashos bepachas michav gimel shehein Sanhedrin ketana bein dinin nefashos adam bein dinin nefashos behema." The Rambam says that dinin nefashos splits into two subcategories. Both are called dinin nefashos. One is adam and one is behema. And what's the common halachic link between dinin nefashos of A, Adam, B, Behema? In both cases, the Rambam says, we need a bezdin of 23 judges. Now, the Rambam is so same, he doesn't qualify, and the impression you get that this is a rule that applies in all cases of a shor niskal. It's always considered dinin nefashos when we have to judge the animal for death. And therefore the Rambam apparently is including even the shor niskal that he addressed in Hilchas Niskei Mamon, which is an onalis shor niskal. It's either a shor shel midbar or a shor shel ger. And the Rambam is saying, you're now judging the animal for death, you're condemning it as guilty as accused for the crime of killing a human being. That condemnation requires a bezdin, and not just a regular bezdin, but a high-powered bezdin, a Sanhedrin Akhtano, made up of 23 judges. It would therefore make sense to assume, and now you'll tell me in a minute if this is the Bach or the Chacham Tzvi, that if the Rambam is saying that in all cases that we condemn the shor to death, we need a bezdin of 23, that would apply even to a shor that was owned by a ben Noach. Whose sheet does that reflect then? The Chacham Tzvi. Does everybody see that? The Rambam makes a general statement, unqualified, that a shor could only be put to death because it's dinin nefashos with a bezin of chaf gimel. And the phrase, the concept of dinin nefashos, includes even the behemah. And the Rambam doesn't limit it. He doesn't say, b'medvar amurim, in this scenario, that scenario. It seems like it's a flat statement, unqualified, that applies universally. Whenever you're condemning the shor to death, you need to do so in a high-powered bezdin, because that's called Dini Nefashis, hence you need 23 judges. It would seem that the Rambam's requirement of 23 judges would apply even in the case of a Shor Shel Ben Noach. And that would support the sheet of whom? Of the Chacham Tzvi. Mitch, are you able to follow? I know you missed the sheet yesterday, am I right?
Yeah, the only thing that I'm confused about is putting death of a person with one judge.
In the case of a non-Jew?
Yeah.
That's a sugya in Sanhedrin which we didn't get to, so at this point you'll have to accept that on a munas chacham. Do you trust me for that?
I trust you, but yeah.
We can open up the Rambam and see it inside. Yeah. I think it's the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, though. I'm not sure, but anyway.
The idea that the Shor is a higher level than
the Shor. Oh, okay. Okay. That's because the Torah was very makel on a Shor. The Shor, again, has some element of Seichel, but it doesn't have what we call Bechira Chofshis. So, in the case of the Shor, the Torah was being very lenient about the Shor, saying that, you know, we're not going to just snap our fingers and put the Shor to death. Fine. That's what we have. That's what we have over here. Now, again, Rabbi Osai, the Bach doesn't address explicitly the question of a Shor Shel Midbar, or a Shor Midbar, or a Shor Ager, but I think it's fair to assume at this point, until I know otherwise, that according to the Bach, a Shor HaMidbar or a Shor of a Ger would be put to death by one judge. Because again, the Bach says that even if the Shor is owned by Bailim, in this case a Nachri, all we need is one judge. In other words, whereas the Chacham Tzvi is allergic to putting the Shor to death by anything less than 23 judges, the Bach has already punctured the balloon. He's already saying in the case of Shor Shel Nachri, you can put the Shor to death based on one witness. How much more so, I would say, with a Kal V'chomer, if the Shor has no Bailim whatsoever, there's no reason to apply the principle according to the Bach of Kavisas HaShor, Kavisas HaBailim, excuse me, which was Mechadish, that you need a Bezdin of 23 judges. That's a special Chiddush that applies to the case of Kibailim. And when we apply the Kibailim rule according to the Bach, in the case of a Shor Shel Ben Noach, it leads us to the conclusion that all you need is one judge to put the Shor to death. I would assume that if there are no Bailim at all, according to the Bach, I don't want to belabor this point because we have a lot to accomplish in the short amount of time we have, that likewise one judge would be sufficient. The Chiddush that Torah is Mechadish to upgrade and be Mekel on the Shor and require a Bezdin of 23, that was specifically in the case of Kavisas HaBailim, where Kavisas HaBailim leads us to the conclusion that you need 23 judges. Now, Rav Osa, we move on to another topic, which is related to our topic, and that's the case of a dangerous animal, a chaya. The Mishnah, here at the beginning of Sanhedrin, records a three-way machlokas regarding five categories of a chaya. Let's open up the Mishnah for a split second just to refresh our memories. And when I say that, I mean I have to refresh my memory. And here's the list of five animals. Just one second, let me just open this up. Ha'ari, Ve'adov, Ve'abarlos. Did I skip anything yet? I'm just looking for the Mishnah. Ve'anamer, I'm sorry, Ha'ze'ev. And then we'll get to Nachash. That's the sixth category, which is going to be a major machlokas between the Tanoim. But in the case of the five dangerous chayos, okay, for our purposes, if I ever use this term, it's just my own term, chayos rovs. So then, if we have to judge any one of those chayos rovs for death to condemn, so the question is, how much of a bezin do we need? So here we have a machlokas. The Tanakhama says it's exactly like the case of the Shor, and therefore we need a basin of 23 judges. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Nay, kol hakodim lahargan zocha. We don't even need a basin. Just put him to death. This is a dangerous animal. Ah, it's my own pet lion." The answer is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not your pet lion. You can't own, in a monetary sense, a dangerous animal. Your ownership is batal mevutal. It's totally void. Why? Because the Torah wants to get rid of such an animal. That animal is a danger to society. Rabbi Akiva Omer, on the one hand, he agrees with the Tanakhama that even in the cases of five Chayas Ros, we need a Bezdin of 23, and we're going to have to see if there's enough testimony and evidence to prove that this Ari or this Zeva Dova killed a human being. However, the exception is the case of Nachash, because in the Brisa we'll see that Rabbi Akiva limits his requirement to 23 judges to the five Chayos Ros. He does not apply that requirement in the case of a Nachash, but rather in the case of Nachash, he agrees with Rabbi Eliezer, Kol HaKodem LaHargon Zocha. Now we're up to Tesvav Hamid Beis, and we have a machlokas here between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. On Reish Lakish, when does Rabbi Eliezer say Kol HaKodem LaHargon Zocha? That's only Husha Hamis. That's only if the animal actually killed someone. Then we're not going to wait for Bezdin, we're not going to foot drag, we're going to kill the animal immediately because he's an absolute threat to human life. Abolohe Misu, if they haven't died yet, lo. Now what does this mean, lo? The word lo means that this animal, we'll call it an Ari, is owned by a trainer. You know, he trains the Ari for a circus, and then he sells it to the circus. And he's claiming that I have domesticated the animal. The animal is no longer dangerous. So Reish Lakish says, Kasavar, Yeshlem Tarbus, Yeshlem Bailam. There is ownership because there is a possibility of training the animal and making it, instead of a dangerous killer lion, making it into a lemichel, a kind of a passive lion. Until the lion proves itself by killing a human being. Then we know that the trainer, with all due respect, was not successful in domesticating this animal. And in such a case, we're going to put him to death. The animal will be condemned to death. Again, we're going to have two Edom testifying that the animal, in fact, killed a human being. We're going to have to bring it in front of a Bezdin. And we're going to have a final decision to condemn the animal to death. But in the absence of killing anyone, and the owner is claiming ownership, and he's validating his ownership, because according to his claim, Yeshlem Tarbus, I was able to domesticate this animal, then until proven to the contrary, we assume that the animal is domesticated. So again, according to Reish Lakish, can you domesticate a lion? Yes. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Afal Pishalohemis. We're not going to wait till this lion kills a human being. Why? Because Alma de Kosovar, Einlem Tarbus V'Einlem Bailam. No one can claim ownership over a lion and say, I domesticated the lion and he's a perfectly tame and innocuous being. No, we don't accept that. The lion, by definition, in its own essence, is a danger to society. And therefore, I don't have to worry about Bailus. I don't have to worry about owning something. You know, somebody claims he's the owner of it, forget it. There is no such thing as ownership. It's hefker. Anyone can kill it. And if anyone goes ahead and kills it, it's kol hakodem zocha. That's what Rabbi Eliezer said in the Mishnah. He'll be zocha to kill a menace to society and protect society. By the way, from time to time, you'll hear about the alligator. It could be the alligator fits into the category of a nachash. Now, you may see that that your local alligator is tamed. Have you seen that? You know, where you go and you see how the Indians, you know, they tame the alligators down in the Everglades. Have you ever gone to see that? It's kedai to see it. It's especially if you're taking your grandchildren, they'll love it. You know, it's fun, and it's not so expensive. But alligators are still known to be killers. And the trouble with an alligator is you don't know where they're going to come from. And they shoot out like the speed of light. I don't know exactly how fast they travel, but very, very fast. And in the last couple of years, you must have heard about different cases of alligators that killed babies, unfortunately, and human beings. This is a very dangerous animal.
If the barometer is domesticating, What about the snake charmers have always been around?
Right, even Rabbi Yochanan would admit that you can train a lion, but what he's saying is that don't trust the lion. You know, you may have trained the lion, and you know the lion will be in the circus, but...
Okay, but you said the Nachash may not be on the list according to Rabbi.
Because again, even if you can train a Nachash, you can never train a Nachash. Meaning, you know, you'll see these guys, again, down in Florida, you'll see, you know, when they have these big cobra snakes or whatever, they're 50 feet fat, you know, and they go around the neck and all, you've seen it, what's it called, Parrot Jungle or whatever it's called down there. I haven't been there in many years, but don't trust the snake. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. You can't change a snake. A snake is a snake. Can you change a grizzly bear? I don't know. That's going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim on one hand, and Rabbi Eliezer on the other hand. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kol hakodim zocha." Let's not wait until the grizzly bear kills, mauls a human being, and don't rely on the trainer to say that he trained. Now, how far did Rabbi Eliezer go? So we said, and that's Rabbi Yochanan Shita, Aval Pishalohe Misu. According to Rabbi Eliezer, based on Reish Lakish, that's a different story. There is a possibility of training a lion, training a grizzly bear. And we recognize that possibility. But we're going to unfortunately realize in some cases that we made a big mistake. That we thought, as the trainer is boasting, that his grizzly bear is totally in control, is not. But we have to wait until that happens. Until that happens, Yeshlan Bailim, and the Bailim can claim it's domesticated. That's Reish Lakish, and that's how he understands Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yochanan says, take these five chayas and just kill them. Don't wait until it's too late. You cannot domesticate them. Again, either are trainers. It wasn't that Rabbi Yochanan wasn't aware of circuses. You know, there were circuses even in the time of Rabbi Yochanan. You know, the circus dates back to the Romans and even before, and probably to the ancient Greeks. But you'll never really. Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Eliezer will never sleep quietly at night based on the circus lions. You know, it's always a danger. Reish Lakish says, well, the proof is in the pudding. Let's wait to see what these animals do. Now the Gemara has a problem, because the Mishnah says, Kol HaKodim Zocha. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we can understand Kol HaKodim Zocha, because what that means is Zocha Li Oran. What does that mean, Zocha Li Oran? Zocha Li Oran means that we're going to kill the lion, but we're going to skin its hide, and that has value. Why? Because there's no Gemar Din. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we killed the lion even if the animal never killed a human being. So we circumvent the whole condemnation in a Beis Din enterprise. Elo l'Reish Lakish, but l'may zocha, what can he get out of it? According to Reish Lakish, we'll only judge the animal for death in a court. And the court is going to issue a Gemar Din, which means that the animal is Osir Banah, and even the skin, the hides of the animal are Osir Banah. So what do you mean Kol HaKodim Zocha? So the Gemara answers, you have to reinterpret the word Zocha. Lamai Zocha, the word means Kevet Shem Shavir. I'm sorry, I missed something. How did I do this? Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't get to the answer yet. I jumped the gun. So l'may zocha, kevan she misu shavina rabbanu kiman de gemara dinai vi surei hanoninu. Even in the case where the animal killed someone, and Rabbi Eliezer says in such a case we kill the animal, well, the rabbanan made it into a gemar din, meaning although there is no gemar din, the rabbanan made up this fake, this quasi Gemar Din, this substitute Gemar Din, and Isuri Hano Ninu. So there's going to be an Isur Hano. So the Gemara has no doubt that according to Rabbi Eliezer, any of the five Chayos Ros that we mentioned that kill the person are Osir Bano. And not only that, even if they didn't kill a person, it's also Rabbanu, because the Rabbanu made it into a Gemara Din. So my Zocha, what does the word Zocha mean? Zocha LaShamay. That he gets brownie points up in heaven because he killed a very dangerous beast before it would Chas V'Shalom kill a human being. V'hinei Rambam, and this top left of your page, v'perek hei me'ilcha Sanhedrin, alocha beis kosav, afilu ari v'dov v'namer v'bardalis, sheheim tarbus, v'yeshlem bailim, sheheim misu, misoson, v'esrim ushlosha. Aval nacha sheheim is echad horeg oso. So let's try to understand who is the Rambam paskening like. The Rambam seems to assume that we need a Beis Din in order to condemn these animals to death. Why? Because the Rambam says, Hein tarbus, they are trained, ve'yeshlem bailim, and therefore they have bailim. So therefore, the Rambam says, this is mamish like a case, a classic case of a shor niskal. We need a judgment to determine that they killed. So the Rambam is paskening like the Chachamim with the version of Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, because the Rambam goes on to say, well, nachash, shehemis, echad, horeg osa. We don't need a bezdin of esrim v'shlosha. So the case of a nachash is the case of a dangerous animal, a killer animal, and there's no possibility of tarbus. We're not going to wait until the nachash kills someone, but rather echad horeg oso. The Rambam reiterates this in his Pirush HaMishnayos here in Sanhedrin, and he paskens like Rabbi Akiva, that nachash ein misasa be'esrim v'shlosha ela sheyamiso so yochid. One is enough to put the nachash to death. So the Griz asks the following question. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, in the five chayos rows, kolakorim zocha, which means that Kevin Shehemis, this is how the Gemara defends Reish Lakish, Shavyinu Rabbanon Kiman de Gomar Dinayu. The Rabbanon made it into a Gemar Din, V'Isurei Hanon Ninhu, V'Zocha Lashomayim. Meaning he gets brownie points in heaven. U'Pirish Rashi, D'Ein Tzrichim Lodun Bebezdin. So basically, Rashi submits the following thesis, that in the case of these five animals, according to Reish Lakish's interpretation of Rabbi Eliezer, once they kill, we can completely circumvent the need for a Beis Din and call a Kodem Zocha, just put him to death. We don't need a Beis Din for that. Hainu, di ein bohem din klal. That's Rashi Shita. Now, if we apply that principle to Rabbi Akiva in the case of Nachash, and therefore kol hakodem lahargan zocha, we would not need a Beis Din at all. That's the way Rashi would interpret this sugya. So again, we have the five chayos roos if they killed someone. Just 1 second. Right, that's according to the Rabbanim and Rabbi Akiva, right? Because according to Rabban and Rabbi Akiva, we have to wait until this animal, any of the five animals, kill someone. And then we have to take him to Beis Din. But in the case of Rabbi Eliezer, of Kol HaKodem Zocha, in the five species of animals, and in the case of Nachash, even according to Rabbi Akiva, we, according to the Rashi, obviate the whole process of judgment. We don't need a Beis Din. And Kol HaKodem Zocha, just kill the animal. And although the Rambam doesn't go that far as to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in the case of the five species of animals, but he does accept that shita in the case of a nachash like Rabbi Akiva. So we can absolutely circumvent the process of a Beis Din and kol hakodem zocha. But when we analyze the Rambam carefully in two places, it seems from the Rambam that Ein Zeh Hariga B'li Din Klal. Right, look at the Rambam's language. He says, Nachash Ha'em is Echad Horeg Oso. What does that mean, Echad Horeg Oso? That word Echad is in contrast to the Esrim Vishlosha in the case of the five Chayos Ros. Here in the case of Nachash, we don't need 23. How many are sufficient? One is sufficient. And that's also indicated in the Rambam's language in Pirush Mishnayos, where he says, Yomis Oso Yachid. What does the word Yachid mean? Otherwise, he could have said, Kol Echad Horeg Oso. No, the Rambam says, Yomis Oso Yachid. Yachid means a Dayan. So that according to the Rambam, we need a process of judgment, even in the case of Nachash. And that's not Rashi. B'tzorech Iyun, Kevan, excuse me, Kevan the Alfinon, Mikamisa Sabailim Kach Misa Sashar, the Ain Don and Dinin and Foshis Bishar Bapokas Mayesim Mishlosha, Im Rabbon and Machmas the Lav B'nei Tarbus, if Q. She'ain tzarch lahargon bichav gimel. I'm not sure what he means by the Rabbanan. I think he means the Rabbanan according to Rabbi Eliezer, meaning that's what the Rabbanan established according to Rabbi Eliezer. That you don't need chav gimel, but rather kolakorim zocha. Is havi leila meimar, the Rambam should have said shezu ariga below din klal. Why does the Rambam require one judge and a din? Furthermore, the Rambam says in the cases of Ari, Dov, etc., Shein Tarbus, V'yeshlem Bailim, Misasa V'yeshlem Mishlosha. So the Brisker Rav wants to know, why does the Rambam have to add these words, Yeshlem Bailim? In the Gemara itself, it doesn't mention Yeshlem Bailim. Tzarech Iyun, Maishna Mishar, Degam Shar, Deleslu Bailim, Kvo Shar Midbar Nidom B'chav Gimel. So the Gevuras Yitzchak wants to be medayik from the Rambam that although a Shara Midbar that's ownerless doesn't require Bailim, right? So too an Ari, Dov, and Amer in that case would require a Bezdin Shel Chav Gimel even without Bailim. Why does the Rambam, when he discusses the Ari, Dov, and Amer, why does he add Yeshlem Bailim? So Rav Osler, the truth is, I'm not bothered by this question. It seems to me, if you have the Rambam, I'll read it to you inside, I don't think that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam is saying that because they have Tarbus, therefore the Bailim is the ownership of Ploni Almoni, the trainer who's domesticated it, is a valid ownership, which means the Rambam says that we cannot just circumvent the entire process of condemning the animal in order to put it to death, and circumvent the requirement of Esrim Vishlosha, just shoot the animal between the eyes. We can't do that. Why? Because Yeshlem Bailim. So that the Rambam understands that Tarbus, it is not just the principle that we can domesticate them, but therefore there is bailus. And if there is bailus, we can't just take away the animal that belongs to someone that he could sell on the market for $1,000 and just shoot the animal and that's it. We can't do so. We have to now condemn the animal to death, and that requires a basin of chaf gimel. The only problem is, just one second. Yeah, I think that solves the problem. In the case of an achash, which cannot be domesticated, and therefore there's no bailim, we don't need to come into the court and have a whole court case with evidence and edim and a gemara din. But kol hakodim zocha. Behine. Harambam in Perek Hey Halacha Beis Kasev Ain Don Din Nefash Pachus Neyas Michav Kimo. Fine. And he says Din Nefash is Adam or Behema. Stimas Lushano Diku to call Behema. Oh, please underline this. Afilu Behemas Hefker. Bechav Gimel requires a basin of 23 judges. Ulam Yesh Ladun. Let's analyze this just from a halachic conceptual perspective before we get to the Rambam himself. Shar Hefker Lo Tzarachav Gimel. There's a compelling reason to say that in the Shar of Hefker you don't need Chav Gimel. Why? Da'arei ha the entire chiddush that the Torah says that we need a high court bezdin of Chav Gimel in order to put the shor to death, that's the case of a shor that was owned, that's specifically owned by a Yisrael. And we derive this from the pasuk V'gam ba'olav yumas. Now we're turning to page Yud Beis. So let's say that if there's Bailim, then the Torah is Mechadish that you require Chav Gimel. But if it's a Behema of Hefker, then the Torah never required Chav Gimel. And therefore, in the Sugya on Daf Tes Zayin, we have a new pshat here. Rabbi Lazar, the Amora, says, Shorosh Shel Kohen Gadol Bekama. Right, the Shor of a Kohen Gadol went out and killed someone. How many judges do we need on the court? And Rabbi Lazar vacillates back and forth on this question. Kimisas Bailim Dide, should we require a court that the owner of this animal, if he was accused of a criminal, of a capital crime, this is the number of judges. Midabina Leah, now we're going to compare the Shor to the owner. Now who owns the Shor? A Kohen Gadol. How many judges do we need in a capital accusation against the Kohen Gadol? 71. Correct. Dilma, the Gemara vacillates. Lemisas Bailin bi Alma Vitamin and Lily. Vindino Bechav Gimel. We're not going to look in each case and see and analyze who is the owner of this animal. We have a general rule that's derived from Kibisas Bailim, from Gamba all of Yumas, that the Shar is not to be condemned to death without a bezdin of 23 judges. And therefore, even if this Shar is owned by a Kohen Gadol, we nevertheless require 23 judges. Again, who does that sound like to you, Rabbi Osai? When you say that even in the case of a Shar that's owned by a Kohen Gadol, we're going to require 23 judges. Well, okay. I know you know the right answer. I also made that mistake a few times. It's the Chacham Tzvi. Right? Okay. He was 3.5 centuries before the Tzavsof. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The Chacham Tzvi already. Because what was the Chacham Tzvi's point? The Chacham Tzvi's point was that it's irrelevant who's the owner of the Shor. We derive this halacha of 23 judges as far as condemning a Shor Haniskal. So the second side in the Gemara, which is called Kemisas Habailim Bi'alma, sounds awfully similar to the Chacham Tzvi. Ki im di yisod adinu ditzorch lashvoso lemisas habailim. Just one second. Now he's going back to the first side in the Gemara. That in the case of Shor Shel Kohen Gadol, we need a bezdin of 71 judges. Why? Because Tzarech Lashvoso Lemisas HaBailim. And if the Bailim is Yisrael, then it's going to be 23 judges. If the Bailim is a Kohen Gadol, it's going to be 71 judges. In Kein Yeshlomer Didafka Hecha De Islei Bailim Tzarech Chav Gimel. He goes back to the question that the Brisker Rav raised on the Rambam, that the Rambam says that in the case of the 5 Chayos Ros, if they killed a human being, So then, Yesh lehem bailim misasam b'esrim v'shlosha. Why did the Rambam add these three words, v'yesh lehem bailim? And the answer is, because the Rambam holds that in the case of a shor shel kohen gadol, we're going to require, in the case of a shor shel kohen gadol, we're going to require 71 judges. And again, that goes back to this line, Tzarech Lashvos Levisas Bailim. If we apply that rule to the case of the five Chayos Ros that are owned by Yisrael, Kemisas HaBailim again means 23 judges. The only problem I have is, does the Rambam at any point codify that in the case of a Kohen Gadol, the Shar will be put to death only in a Beis Din of 71? I don't know where that is in the Rambam. If you have the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, see if he mentions that. And if you would mind opening up to the Gemara of Kohen Gadol, which I believe is on the same Tzadi Zainam Beis, you may see it Tzion in the Shar HaTzion. Now I'm looking at the clock and I'm seeing that it's time to end. So we're going to have to pick this up again, and hopefully we'll be able to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And the major breakthrough is going to come in this paragraph, the Hine Kaimelon Deben Noach Nerag B'dayon Echad. And here we're going to have a sugya in Mesecht Avodah Zarah. And that's going to be the following question. Does the judgment on a Ben Noach for any violation of any of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach, does that itself create the Chiyuv Misa, or do we need Beis Din to create the Chiyuv Misa? And there's going to be a Tosus there in Avodah Zarah who's going to establish that in the case of Ben Noach, even though we don't need a full-fledged Beis Din, but we still need a Gmar Din. How do we get a Gmar Din without a full-fledged Beis Din? That's going to be through one judge. So that one judge is going to have the authority and the status to create a Gmar Din of a Beis Din, even though he himself is not a Beis Din. And that's going to be our discussion of Mirtz Hashem next time. So again, if it works out for you, Rabosai, I need one more week of Monday and Tuesday, and then we'll see how the dust settles after that. So we'll meet next Monday and Tuesday, same time, same station, at 10:30. If you could make it, that's great. And I thank you very much. Wishing everyone a great day.
Isn't there a limit from something you talk about? I think it's the end of her day that if a ger dies without an heir, without heirs, then his property goes to
Kohanim?
Yeah. So there shouldn't be any situation where there's something doesn't
involve. Right. I don't know if that's how we paskin, but there is such an opinion. I think others say it's called a Kohanim Zocha. That's the Sugyan Makis, you know. But Belineder, I can look that up if I get a chance. Okay then? All right, have a great day.